Hi everybody, Miss Starling here for Starling's All-American Lamb Chops. Have you thought about dinner tonight? I know I have. Usually, it's some cow, there's some chicken, and some pig roaming around somewhere. But have you thought about lamb? Lamb's all natural, it's all great, and plus it ain't that bad for the environment like them nasty cows and them nasty pigs. Starling's All-American Lamb Chops, made right here in our farms in West Virginia. And you can't get any better grass-fed lamb than what you see in the stores. Remember, it's got to have the name Starling written on it for it to be high quality. That's right. We only ship the highest quality lamb meat all around these great United States. God bless America. I sure do love it. That's Starling's All-American Lamb Chops. Guaranteed to make you scream for more.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn, and Matt and my schedule couldn't meet up right now, so I am doing the opening. It's 4th of July week. Hope you all had a safe 4th of July. Me, Scorpio Girl, and Boom Doom went to see the first Purge on the 4th of July. We went to the last show of the night, so there was not very many people in the theater, which is a better movie-going experience. And it was intense, and we were having deep discussions afterwards, so we haven't seen the series at all, but I thought the first Purge origin story wouldn't be so bad to start off with. Now I'm going to rent the other three just to know what the series is about. So there's an interview coming up with Ron Sterling from Demonologist for Hire, a web series filmed in Scotland. And we got a lot of other goodies coming your way. It's EMZT Radio.
Girls, watch out for those weirdos.
We are the weirdos, mister.
is alright. As your chest is getting tight, count to 10 before you die. As the monsters come out at night, know that something's just alright. As your chest is getting tight, count to 10 before you die.
Just get any blunt objects together, all right? If you get cornered, bash him in the head. That seems to work out. Keep together, stay sharp, and follow me.
Nuka-Cola, zap that thirst.
This is Lucan Wolf, and you're tuned in to the delightful darkness of EMZT Radio.
Well, this week on the gaming report, not much to talk about on the gaming front, especially in the horror gaming front. Of course, we're coming off of E3 a couple of three weeks ago now, and well, of course, the big talk is the Resident Evil upgrade here, the update, I guess you could say, for Resident Evil 2 that's supposed to be coming out later this year, but there's some other things we can talk about. Matter of fact, Indonesian folklore-based horror game Pamali now is on Kickstarter, and it's due to abundance of interesting cultural inspirations creators could draw from horror games. Rarely do we ever see any games based on folklore and culture outside of the United States and Japan, and that's what we're getting from Storytel Studios in their latest Kickstarter. It is another, you know, Outlast clone or whatever. Pamali seeks to draw influence from Indonesian folklore to get its scares. On the game's Kickstarter page, the developer explains that Pamali uses uniquely Indonesian cultural perceptions of what's scary, relying on everyday minutiae to create a uniquely horrifying experience for the player. The other interesting element about this game is that it refers to a dynamic horror engine where every little choice a player makes, down to opening a door and closing it behind you or leaving it open, can have an effect on how the game is played. And it's also based on cultural taboos and myths. You can go check that one out on the Kickstarter page. We'll have a link in the description for you. Also coming right now, Red Candle has a new creation coming out. Their shiny new trailer for Devotion is out. It takes place in an abandoned apartment building in Taiwan in the 1980s. Setting for Devotion manages to feel fresh enough to be interesting, but familiar enough to draw in players who enjoy detention. The game covered the extremely dark period of Taiwanese history that saw a radical new government entice citizens to turn on one another for even imagined slights, resulting in the mass murder of Taiwanese people under the guise of, quote-unquote, the greater good. Well, it looks pretty interesting. We'll have the teaser trailer up as well. Can't wait to see where this one comes out. They have not determined yet what platforms and when this game will come out, but it looks like Red Candle is back at it again with another great selection. This week is your week to go ahead, head on over to thattechshop.com and put in the code EMZT. That's EMZT. Get 20% off of all items on the website right now. That's at thattechshop.com.
Are you ready to accept my domination?
EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Jesus is back with a vengeance.
You've seen the passion of the Christ. Now behold his fury. Framed for a crime he didn't commit and left for dead. Jesus is back.
Soon.
come October and Halloween's begun. The ghosts and ghouls and goblins are frightening everyone. The pumpkins bright and orange, they glow with fiery grins. And the necromancing goblin summons magic from within. All among the goblins, corpses will arise. For the necromancing goblin who grins and glowing eyes. The troll is like a boulder, he's stony as can be. The ghost is like a gust of wind, dancing wistfully. The witches fly above us and cackle wickedly. And the necromancing goblin is singing hauntingly. All among the goblins, corpses will arise. For the necromancing goblin who grins with glowing eyes. Are like a wheat field, they lurch and lean and sway. The vampire is a man leech who fears the light of day. The bats are just like angels with no need for the sun. And the necromancing goblin knows every single one. All among the goblins, corpses will arise. For the necromancing goblin who grins with glowing eyes. All among the goblins, corpses will arise. For the necromancing goblin who creeps with glowing eyes. Now is come October and Halloween's at hand. The fairies flee in terror, they just don't understand. The gypsy bells are playing and music fills the air. And the necromancing goblin delivers all the scares. All among the goblins, corpses will arise. For the necromancing goblin who creeps with glowing eyes. All among the goblins, corpses will arise. For the necromancing goblin who grins with glowing eyes.
Yeah, but when it comes to blood in my underwear, I want to know how it got there.
Hey, Insaniacs. This is V from Creeping Beauty, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
From 1428elm.com, business owners closing cafe after seeing ghost on security cameras. There are three types of people in the world when it comes to the supernatural. The if I can't touch it, then it doesn't exist non-believer. The I have an open mind, but this could be anything really cautious skeptic. And the I know this is real, I'm getting the hell out of here believer. These folks in San Antonio, Texas fall into the latter. After reviewing their security footage, the owners of OnLive Hall of Fame Cafe closed up shop to, quote, protect the customer, end quote. The suspicion arose when their makeshift barricade was found collapsed inside the cafe. They assumed that it was a vandal since this wasn't the first time it was found knocked over, until they reviewed their surveillance footage. Quote, the alarm didn't go off, Ward said, so let's see if someone came through the ceiling or something. That's when we see the image, Ward said, because my husband has left and I was at the door and he said he was in the building. And that was like a horror movie, end quote. The couple planned to keep the shop closed until they figure out what they're dealing with. They started scheduling overnight visits with paranormal investigators and ghost enthusiasts to document any more supernatural activity. So the question is, what are they going to do if they find more documentation from the paranormal investigation teams? Call an exorcist? Burn some sage? Hold a seance? If I were them? I'd remodel the cafe and rename it to fit the new scene, the Haunted Cafe, and sell little plush ghosts at the small merch counter next to the coffee, perhaps. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
You sucked out her brains?
Yeah, right through her mouth.
Is she dead?
Of course she's dead. What, are you kidding?
And we're back here with Ron Sterling from Demonologist for Hire.
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing great. And I'm telling you, this is absolutely hilarious. It's on YouTube, for those of you who don't know. And I have to admit, I've caught a few episodes. The second episode in particular just made me die laughing because of the whole the whole Trump reference. Because it seems like 90% of my Facebook conversations.
Trump is making us all die laughing over here, so don't worry about it.
How did you get involved with this project?
I've known Bryn and Ushton for a long time, probably near enough 20 years, and we've worked together so many times on so many different things, like music videos and feature films and short films. And this demonologist for hire was the brainchild of Bryn. I think it's something he's probably had in his mind for a few years, and he's finally laid it down onto paper last year, and we all loved it and just went for it. We just decided to just go for it straight away, and we've done the 4 episodes of series 1, and they're going down a storm. People seem to be loving them, which is great.
Absolutely, and you know, you can count me, like I said in the beginning, you can count me as one of those people. I just absolutely think that it was hilarious. So,
thank you so much. Thank you.
I, you know what I pick up, though? I pick up the Simon Pegg type vibe with this stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like Shaun of the Dead type thing.
Yes. Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff. I guess just those that are not initiated in this, kind of explain what you're doing, where it's going to go from here.
Okay, sure. Well, Demonologist for Hire is the name of the web series, and it's, I guess we would call it a comedy first and foremost, but there is an element of supernatural and a little bit of horror in there. And a demonologist in the universe that we are basing this in is basically someone that you'd find in the Yellow Pages alongside plumbers or carpenters. It's just completely normal to have a possession or a ghost or a werewolf that you need rid of, and you would call a demonologist to have that done. So each episode is based on a different problem or possession or something like that. And the demonologist goes along and tries his best to solve it. He's not always successful, but we have a little bit of fun watching him trying to do it anyway.
How about your history? What's gotten you into acting and what you've done so far? Gosh. Introduce yourself to everybody.
Yeah, my full name is Ronnie Menzies Sterling, and Ronnie doesn't have an E, so you can find me through Google, and I've got a website, which is ronnie.online. I've been acting for some 20 years now, and I've done pretty much everything. I've done stage, theatre, films, television, music videos, even had my own radio show last year, which was great fun. I'm a big fan of comedy, but I also love horror, so when Demonologist came along last year, I just jumped on it because it's both. It's kind of like, it has a sort of an Evil Dead vibe to it, if you know what I mean, but it's not as gory as that. It's that kind of wacky, sort of bizarre universe where anything could happen, and when it does happen, it's just accepted, it's normal, you know. But I've been doing that for some 20 years now, I would say, and it's just this past couple of years started to really, really take off. I've recently done a lot of quite high-profile TV commercials and stuff like that, so it's all very exciting. But Demonologist is just the most fun I've had in a long time.
Hmm. Now, where do you guys primarily shoot? Is it in Glasgow or...?
It's always shot in Scotland. The first episode, the one with the car, that was filmed in Peterhead, which is north of Aberdeen. So that's a way up north, and that's where Ushton lives. The second episode, with the deity, was filmed in Glasgow at Film City, which is a big old Victorian building full of studios and offices and stuff like that. Episode 3, we were back up in Peterhead for that one, which was filmed in a factory for Harley, Scotland. They manufacture lots of clothing. And then the 4th episode was filmed in Helensburgh on the, I think it's near the west coast of Scotland, I would say. And that was filmed at a friend's house, outside the house and inside the house. And that was a good fun episode as well. So we're looking to film all of them in Scotland, hopefully. But, I mean, you never know. You never know.
Now, you said you've been doing acting for 20 years. Is this your first toe dip into horror?
Oh, no, it isn't, actually. Ushton himself, that's how you pronounce his name. It's in Gaelic. It's spelled U-I-S-D-E-A-N. Mm-hmm. So we call him Ushton for short. He's been directing for about 20 years, and he did a horror trilogy, short films about early 2000s called Jemima. You might have heard of those, and those were pretty gory. Those were good fun. I was in 2 of those. The Outpost movies, have you heard of those? It's like the Nazi zombie movies. I was in the 3rd one. If you keep an eye out, you might be able to spot me on that. I've done a bit of horror before.
What gets you into horror? Do you have any specific like body count horror movies or
do you want me to name a few movies, or do you want me tell
why
you
yeah.
why I like horror? Well, I'm a big fan of like classic horror, like mainly 70s and 80s stuff when they really, really went for the gore. Oh, you know, things like Intruder, Evil Dead, Frankenhooker, Hellraiser, the Nightmare on Elm Street films, of course, that goes without saying. But I mean, I don't really have any specifically favourite directors or writers or anything like that. As long as it's as long as the screen is red, like we say, for about half the movie, I'll be happy. But I mean, so, movies these days, they really go for it with the gore, don't they? Oh my goodness!
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially the Hostel. I just finished watching the Hostel trilogy again for some.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've only seen the first one, and yeah, they're pretty unnerving. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm more into the psychological stuff, but hell yeah, give me a good body count every once in a while.
Oh, well, listen, see, for series two of Demonologist, we are really upping the gore and action for this one. I've read three scripts so far, and we're going to need a pretty good makeup artist for this one. There's a lot of gore. You're going to be really happy with it. It's going to get messy.
Do you want to stay in the horror genre?
Me personally, or the Demonologist?
Oh, yeah. Well, anything. Just, yeah, you personally. You want to...
Me personally, I do love doing theatre, I really do, but there's just never any money in that, and it's quite difficult to get into as well, because they see a lot of people for that. But for my career, I don't really mind what direction it goes in, as long as I can pay my bills. That's all I'm happy about. I'm not wanting to be rich and famous or anything like that. I just want to make a living out of it. But if I happen to get a lot of comedy or horror roles, then that'll be a very happy boy. Yeah. But as far as the Demonologist for Hire series is concerned, it started out as a web series, obviously, but little things have started branching out of it. I mean, we've made a few sort of fake commercials, which are also on the YouTube page. We've started making some 60-second-long mini-episodes, which are designed to be put on Instagram, because there's a 60-second limit on Instagram. And there's a few more things happening as well. I think I could also tell you that Bryn has written a TV episode script or treatment. Ooh. So we're looking at eventually pitching this to some TV stations as well. But I mean, it could go anywhere. We could end up making a movie or a Broadway musical, you know, Demonologist Fryer.
That would
with your
be
legs
hilarious.
Up right your ears. Yeah.
I'd go see that.
Yeah.
Tell us about the funding. How are you guys funding doing Demonologist for Hire? Is this all coming out of your pocket, or are you crowdfunding, or...
Yeah, Series 1 was entirely funded, and I must be honest about this, it was entirely funded mostly by Bryn and Ushton. And the second series, because it's much bigger in scale, the second series, there's a lot of makeup involved. We're looking for some pretty serious locations as well, and there's some pretty decent actors getting involved in this next series. So we have already started an Indiegogo funding campaign for this one. Mm-hmm. And if you can check on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, if you just search for Demonologist for Hire, or you can just go straight to the website demonologistforhire.com, and all the links to the Indiegogo are there. And if anyone can give us some financial support towards the next series, there are some fantastic perks available, some really good ones. And the top perk, you know how there's always a really big perk which you have to give a good amount of funding for. The top perk is to actually decide which monster we battle next. So how amazing is that? That is amazing. So the top perk, basically you're going to get an episode written for you. So there's some really, really good stuff there. So demonologistforhire.com.
What movie? Was there a specific movie that got you saying, no, this is acting, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life?
Oh, do you know, I've always wanted to get into acting ever since I was a little kid. I mean, I remember when I was really young, I was about 9 or 10 years old, and my parents rented E.T. for me on videotape, so I got a hold of an E.T. poster, and I put it up outside my bedroom, and I set up the TV and the VCR in my bedroom and had all my friends around pretending it was a cinema, you know. I used to do stuff like that all the time. When I was, I think, 12 years old, my gran was a nurse at the time. Uh-huh. And I made this sort of fake chopped off hand wrist type thing out of, I don't know if you guys have plasticine over there. It's kind of like a silly putty kind of thing. You can mold it and shape it.
Yeah, I think it's something similar. I'm not 100% sure.
And I stole some of my mum's red nail varnish for the blood, and I ran into the living room with this sort of, you know, bleeding wrist and ran towards my gran. I was like, gran, I've cut my hand off. I've always been into horror and stuff like that. I can give you another one. I mean, this was when I was really young. You're not going to believe this. And don't hate my dad for this. But I think I was about 8 years old, and we were watching Poltergeist, the original from Toby Hooper, the classic, classic movie. I love that movie so much. And I think it was about 45 minutes into the movie. I had to go to the bathroom, so I went. And I came back, and my dad had paused the video. And I said to him, well, what have you done that for? And he went, oh, a really good bit came up. So he rewound it and he played it for me. And it's the bit where the guy tears his face off and throws it into the sink.
Oh, yes.
He thought he would replay that for his 8-year-old son. So, yeah, that's the kind of upbringing I've had. It didn't do me any damage, but, you know, it's given me a lifelong love of horror movies.
Your dad and my mom. That's
stand-up people, they really are. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I keep telling everybody. You know, blame my mother for how I turned out. Yeah.
See, my dad was really good because he knew how enthusiastic I was about horror movies, so he allowed me to look at them and, you know, rent them. And sometimes he would take me along to the video store and let me choose a couple of them as well, and he never bothered about what I chose, as long as it wasn't anything, you know, like 9.5 weeks or something like that. He would let me rent as many horror movies as I wanted, and I saw some amazing films when I was young, so it's definitely molded me. Definitely. Oh,
yeah. Has there been one movie, it doesn't even have to be horror, but one movie that it's just like, nope, I'm done. I can't take this.
Oh, crikey, that's a good question. Do you know, I really don't think there has been, but I recently have experienced a thing in the cinema which I've never experienced in my life, and it's only happened twice, and Ushtin will be so glad that I'm mentioning this. The first time it happened was when I went to the cinema with Ushtin to see, I can't remember the name of the film, it was a war movie about 2005. No, it escapes me. But the second time was, I think, last year when we went to see Mother at the cinema. Mm. And both of those times I've had to leave the cinema before the film ended because the camera, the way they're filming it, they're not using tripods or steadicams. They're doing it handheld and they're doing it really, really, really shaky. When you're in a cinema, that makes me really, really sick. And I don't get seasick or air sick or anything, but that's only happened twice, and that's the only reason I would walk out of a movie if the motion of the camera. Please, for the love of God, use a tripod. It's not difficult, you know what I mean? You can get one for 10 quid. Come on.
Oh, realism. You gotta love it.
Honestly.
It's so real that it makes you just puke. Yeah, I've had a few experiences like that too. Like, I don't get motion sickness at all until you still.
Yeah.
Until you start watching like something like rocking back and forth on a boat or something, and you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Just get through the scene. Get through the scene. Don't puke.
You start denying it. You go, no, I don't get sick. I don't do this.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not normally like this. What the hell?
I wish I could remember the name of that other movie. It was, I think it was Denzel Washington. It was a war movie.
Oh, no. It wasn't Saving Private Ryan then.
No. It was set out in the sand somewhere. So I can't remember.
Oh. God, yeah. For me, it was Watership Down. I watched that when I was... I don't know why people think that's a child's movie.
Oh, I know. It's disturbing, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I can watch the goriest horror movies there are. I mean, just total body counts, sick, disgusting, perverted stuff.
You should see my collection.
Not Watership Down, man. Not Watership Down. I will never watch that movie again. The first time I saw it was 7.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, God. And the rabbits are eating each other. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, it's such a shame.
Yeah.
You poor tortured soul, you.
Yeah, damn school.
I wish I could remember the name of that movie. It's bugging me now.
You'll remember it, like, at the most awkward moment.
Yeah, 2 in the morning while I'm asleep,
Yeah, and shout it out. It's like, oh, shit.
I think I'm going to Google Denzel Washington, see if I can find it, actually, where we're talking.
How do you guys shoot your stuff? Is it on an iPhone or?
Oh, no. Ushtin has, I think it's a Sony AS7 II or something like that, A7S II, whatever it is. But he shoots them in 4K, and then that means he can edit them down and, you know, grunge them up a little bit if he needs to. But It's a seriously good camera, but it's all about the lenses as well. He's got some really good lenses, and what he does in the editing process as well, he adds some like really cinematic filters to it, and it just looks incredible. It looks like we spent a lot more money than we did, really. And that's a lot of that is down to Ushtin's film making technique and his editing. It really is.
Yeah, and
I've just found the name of that movie, by the way. It was The Kingdom, 2007.
Oh, God.
It wasn't Denzel Washington, it was Jamie Foxx, but that movie was filmed during an earthquake, I swear. It was just so shaky. I was like, for goodness sake.
I don't doubt it one bit that was filmed during an earthquake.
I never saw the end of that movie. Yeah.
damn camera shakes way too much in that one. Given the budget you guys have, what are some of the restraints that, you know, you wish you didn't really have?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, in an ideal world, you would want to build sets and have everything looking exactly as you want it. But when you're filming guerrilla style, you've got to try and find these locations and for the right price as well. I mean, most of the locations were free, but some of them, like Film City, that is a business that I think we had to pay for that. But it wasn't really that much. But, I mean, everyone, every location we've filmed at so far, everyone's been brilliant. They've been so accommodating and supportive as well, which is great. You get a lot of that here in Scotland. It's really good. But in an ideal world, I think, oh, gosh, I don't really know. In an ideal world, I think Demonologist would be a good high-budget TV series. I really do.
What are some of the advantages of doing the guerrilla style now? Is it, you know, helping with the writing? Is it?
Gosh, I don't know. That's an interesting question there. Well, see, when you're filming in that style, sometimes you just sort of throw in a couple of shots because you know you can. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do things maybe accidentally or not as you originally intended, and they turn out better. It's quite a difficult question. I mean, I don't think there are any downsides to filming low budget or guerrilla style. It's just all about the people that are involved and how much love they put into it. I mean, it is all about the love, you know. It really is. Yeah.
Have you guys ran into anybody that was maybe less accommodating than you'd like? Maybe you found a location and they just said absolutely not under any circumstances?
No, actually, not yet. No, not at all. Definitely not. Everyone's been so lovely.
Now, do you get any input on the script or...
Generally, for the whole first series, Bryn came up with pretty much everything, I would say. But then when he sends us like an early draft of the script and we go through it and we'll maybe say, you know, maybe he would say this or maybe this would happen, that kind of thing. And Bryn sometimes changes some things and sometimes doesn't, because it is his baby at the end of the day. It really is. But for the second series, I think because now we've done a year of this, we've been doing this for a year, we all have ideas for episodes and for storylines and things like that. So, you know, to give Bryn his credit, we threw a lot of stuff at him this year. I mean, I came up with I don't know if I should tell you. Should I tell you? I wanted to do a drag queen episode. And
oh, yes.
The guys, I was like, they're never going to go for this. They're really never going to go for this. But they did, and they went for it. And so I came up with a couple of ideas and sent some notes over to Bryn, and Bryn has come up with an amazing script for that one, a really, really, really funny one. And Ushton as well, I think he had input in the werewolf episode. I think he has a writing credit on that one. I'm not sure 100%, but Bryn's great that way. He will take on board ideas. And when you're filming on the day as well, things come to you and you just throw them in there. It's all good, you know.
I guess since I've run out of questions, the one last thing I got left to do is just give you the floor and promote everything you can with this and tell everybody where you can be found and where they can give money.
Oh, sure. Okay. No problem. Well, the series is called Demonologist for Hire. Series 1 is available to watch now, and it's entirely free of charge. It's our gift to you. So if you would please go onto your social media on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and search for demonologistforhire.com, or you can go onto our website, that is demonologistforhire.com, actually, and there are links there to the Indiegogo fundraising campaign. We are looking for your money to make Series 2, and any donation that you can spare would be very much appreciated. Thank you so much.
All right. Ron Sterling, we appreciate it.
Very welcome, and it was very nice to talk to you, Matt. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back right after this music break. It's EMZT Radio.
We'll all go in together.
Hell no. You're the curious one.
We'll be right back. stick all the bits of brain in a plastic bag, Barry.
We'll need them for analysis.
No bloody way, mate. You can come down here and do that yourself.
This is Colin Chaos of Sugar Plum Suicide and Alucard's Demise, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Welcome to EMZT Radio Minis. I'm Boom Doom. I'm your host, and I'm here with Aunt Bane, and we're gonna talk about Smile Dog.
Okay, tell me about Smile Dog.
Oh, he's a it's a dog. It's a husky, a type of husky that has probably long destroyed and died of an old age and is now a demon underground. But a long, long time ago, I don't know what year, but it was a long, long time ago. 2007?
Eight.
That's sad. And if you looked at this dog, if you said Smile Dog, Smile Dog, Smile Dog, come out and play in a mirror three times, and then turned back at the mirror, you would see a husky. And if you looked behind you right into its eyes where it was standing, you'll pop up with a very giant, scary face of a smile with a skin face with husky, and then you'd find, and then your face would be gone after that, because they want your face.
Alright, Smile Dog. Smile Dog's precise origins are unknown, but according to Know Your Meme, it's thought to have first been posted on the X/Paranormal board on 4chan in 2008. That's where a lot of the earlier creepypastas first started.
Yeah.
A number of images purportedly to be Smile Dog surfaced shortly thereafter, although no one knows which one was the very first one. Something that looks like a Polaroid with a bloody fingerprint on the edges, featuring a husky with human-like teeth grinning. Like so many creepypastas, Smile Dog is written as a first-person account of events that occurred in the narrator's own life. In this case, our narrator is a young writer, and the events involve their attempt to interview a woman identified only as Mary E. Mary allegedly had experienced with well-based urban legend known as Smile.jpg or Smile Dog, an image it's said that can cause insanity simply by viewing it, and that the narrator is investigating for a college newspaper story. Mary, who had been a systems operator for a Chicago-based BBS in 1992, is one of about 400 people who saw the image when it first appeared on the internet. She is also the only one to ever speak out about it. It's unknown who the other 399 people are, but the narrator posts that they either remain anonymous or are dead. The interview does not go on as planned. When the narrator arrives at her house, they find her barricaded in her bedroom, spouting terrified-sounding nonsense from behind the door. The narrator sits and listens outside the door while Mary's husband attempts to calm her down. The interview goes unconducted. The following year, Mary sends the narrator a lengthy email, both apologizing for the failed interview and explaining her experience with Smile.jpg. Ever since she first stumbled upon the image, she writes, it has haunted her, coming to her in her dreams every night. It says that it will leave her alone if she does what it asks, that is, if she spreads the word. She has received a floppy disk with one file on it, and guess what file? Smile.jpg. In the mail, a week after that fateful day in 1992, you see, and ever since then, she has struggled with whether or not she can or should spread the word. For 15 years, she did not, but on that day that the narrator was to conduct the interview, she originally planned to pass the disk on. She did not, though, and that's why she refused to see the narrator on that day. Now she implores the narrator to stop their search for information about Smile Dog. She apologizes again, and later that month, the narrator receives word from Mary's husband that she has died by suicide. But then something curious happens. Sometime later, the narrator receives yet another email, this time from an unknown address with a single file attached to it. Will the narrator look at it? And if so, will they then spread the word to save themselves? At its core, Smile Dog is basically a chain letter, and chain letters have been making the rounds for ages. So, where did you hear about Smile Dog?
Oh, I got it from PewDiePie!
Well, you know, he likes to tell stories.
Yeah.
And that's all Smile Dog is. It's a story. And it's a creepy picture. Do you see this picture?
Mm-hmm.
It's disturbing. I wouldn't say it would cause me to go insane, but, I mean, maybe some less stable people find it disturbing. Like, it's like this picture was the original, I think.
Yeah.
One of the originals. But see, it's this picture. It's kind of disturbing, a dog smiling like that with a bloody handprint on there. It's kind of weird. I only heard of Smile Dog once, and then I never heard of it again. And I only saw the picture once, except now. So, people make up all sorts of weird stories, don't they?
Yeah.
And it's much like it was like a chain letter about do this or disaster will strike. But you know chain letters, they're all crap. And nothing happens if you don't do it. And there's no curse that goes along with it. But just...
Yeah, you never know.
Well...
You never know. Don't be such a skeptic.
Well, but I haven't heard of anything since.
Well, yeah, probably because it's not 2008 anymore. Bane.
Well, that's all up to you. It is a really weird picture. It hasn't caused me to go insane, probably because I'm already partially there. But...
And this is it for this episode. And next, our next episode will be Roblox. And we're going to be talking about 1X, 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 1. So bye!
Emergency number 911. There is no one in at the moment. You are listening to a recording. At the sound of the beep, leave your name, telephone number, a short description of the crime, and the perpetrators.
You love midnight movies, don't you? But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web, Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live, 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
Hey everyone, this is Beaumont Bob from Bung with Bobcat. You can listen to me live every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern at sfdradio.com, where I'm bringing you the best of the worst in cheap booze, talking bum wine, beers, 40s, malt liquor, and more. Always featuring the latest and greatest in the world of drinking and entertainment, along with some special guests. So come on down and take a ride with Bumwine Bob. If you can't be there live, you can always listen in the archives at bumwinebob.com. So sit back, relax, grab a drink, and enjoy. Cheers.
I got a bone to pick with you.
Buckle up, bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
You are now listening to EMZT Radio.
From 1428elm.com, Eli Roth and Steven Spielberg make Michigan magical. Horror director Eli Roth has teamed up with Steven Spielberg to make the magically gothic movie The House with a Clock in Its Walls. Eli Roth is best known for his horror films like Hostel and The Green Inferno, has partnered with Steven Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment to bring the beloved John Bellar's book, The House with a Clock in Its Walls, to life. This is the first installment of the series. Walls could very well be the next Harry Potter if the movie does well. Set in Michigan, it's about a recently orphaned boy, Louis Barnevelt, who goes to live with his eccentric uncle Jonathan in a mysterious house filled with secrets. As it turns out, Jonathan is a warlock, and the crazy next-door neighbor, Mrs. Zimmerman, is a witch. They tutor Lewis in the ways of white magic. However, everything gets considerably darker when it's revealed that Jonathan's house used to be owned by an evil warlock, Isaac Izzard. Isaac has hidden a clock in the walls of the house. It's counting down to the day when he can destroy the earth. It's up to Lewis, Jonathan, and Mrs. Zimmerman to thwart that plot. And it's starring Jack Black and Kate Blanchett as Jonathan Barnevelt and Mrs. Zimmerman. I think this looks cute. The trailer was really cute and it felt like Harry Potter, but a little different because it's not a school for wizards. It's just one house. So, the house with a clock in its walls will be in theaters on September 21st, 2018. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
I'll swallow your soul!
Yo, she-bitch. Let's go.
Chronicity, a state of prolonged duration, recurrent, habitual, chronic.
A new mini-series on chronic pain and illness by your friends Matt and Phil from Semi-Intellectual Musings.
We go beyond medical diagnosis to explore the often forgotten political, social, and personal sides.
You'll hear stories from extraordinary people overcoming extraordinary challenges.
Authors, entrepreneurs, volunteers, coaches, and caregivers.
They are so much more than their diagnoses, yet each have found ways to persevere.
You'll also hear some familiar voices from the indie podcast community,
showing that art, creativity, and passion are possible while living in chronicity.
These stories and more, starting April 1st at thesim.podbean.com.
Gotcha, didn't I, you little sucker?
Hi, this is Dr. Death and Mr. Vile, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
From pophorror.com, Taco Bell replicating futuristic Demolition Man restaurant at 2018 San Diego Comic-Con. The 1993 sci-fi action movie Demolition Man was released 25 years ago and stars Sylvester Stallone, Sandra Bullock, and Wesley Snipes. The film takes place in 2032, only 14 years in our future, and John Spartan learns from partner Lenina Huxley that Taco Bell survived the franchise wars and is the only restaurant left standing. Can you imagine only being able to eat Taco Bell? Have you ever thought about how cool that would be to visit a futuristic Taco Bell? You have your chance. You have to go to the San Diego Comic-Con to see it, though. From Bloody Disgusting's press release, at this year's San Diego Comic-Con, specifically from Thursday, July 19th to Saturday, July 21st, Taco Bell will be paying tribute to the 25th anniversary of Demolition Man with a limited-time pop-up shop dubbed Taco Bell 2032 Demolition Man Experience, a recreation of the futuristic Taco Bell scene in the film. After making the biggest debut in Taco Bell history in January, the hugely popular Nacho Fries are back for a summer sequel, returning to menus July 12th. To celebrate their return, Taco Bell will honor the 25th anniversary of Warner Brothers Pictures' action sci-fi film Demolition Man, and its prediction of a utopian future where all restaurants are Taco Bell, with a recreation of the iconic restaurant from the movie. Demolition Man, a 1993 Warner Brothers Pictures cult classic in its own right, gained fame for its utopian predictions of 2032, where Taco Bell was the only restaurant to survive the franchise wars. But since the film released 25 years ago, one question remains unanswered. How? Leading up to July 12th, Return of the Nacho Fries, answers will be revealed in the sequel of the Web of Fries 1 ad campaign, culminating with a Demolition Man pop-up and a futuristic and upscale Taco Bell dining experience July 19th through the 21st in San Diego, just outside the holy grail of science fiction. More details and sneak peeks into the experience to follow. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Even now we have your darling Linda's soul. She suffers in torment.
You're going down.
And that wraps up another episode of EMZT Radio. Thank you, Ron Sterling, for talking to Matt, because I unfortunately couldn't make it. Matt did an excellent job, and I have a new web series to check out. A list of the links will be in the show notes. And you know where to find us. All our links are on our Podbean page. And also, our WordPress is in there, too. And if you have a project that you'd like to come and talk to us about that we could help promote and spread the word, please drop us a line at emztradio@gmail.com. And I don't know what else to say. So stay tuned for another episode of EMZT Radio.
Groovy.